Hey, give me your purse for a sec.
All right.
Just handing it right over, huh?
I just want to look at it.
Eric is just starting this episode by robbing our guest.
We're not going to have any guest hosts after this. I hope you know that.
Oh, come on. One robbery and people don't want to come
one
here.
One robbery? This studio is the size of a closet. Yes.
This purse is a map.
That it is.
Yes.
Of Jackson County. Wow. And the thing is, it's an older map. I-94 wasn't built yet when this map was. This map's from like the mid-60s or earlier. So that's pretty cool. Back when 12 was the main highway through there and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a map geek.
Also, you keep saying purse. Is that a lunch bag?
It is a lunch bag.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
There we go.
Okay, I'll call it a satchel. That's what guys do when we carry what's really a purse, but we don't want to claim it's a purse.
A merce.
Yeah,
it's a merce. Satchel, bag, whatever.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, at some point, your pockets, which women are very jealous of, I can attest to that at least, they do run out at some point, so.
Well, your lunch bag caught my eye.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let it be known that Eric did return the property, so all future guest hosts of the cabin are safe to be in the studio with us.
Yes. She only had $12 in there. It wasn't worth it.
We're like the most polite robbers ever. Hey, could you please give me that purse?
Can you just hand that to me real quick?
Now you can have it back.
Oh my gosh. A very Wisconsin robbery, which we should not advertise it like that. But by the way, welcome to the Cabin Podcast, which is the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. I'm Susan Foch.
I'm Eric Paulson.
I'm Audio Dave.
And we'll give her a proper introduction later, but we're also sitting here with the Wisconsinista, Chelsea Knuth.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We're so excited. We're talking fall. Dave even broke out his flannel. We're excited for fall.
This shirt doesn't come out until it's fall.
A couple of rakings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, should we get into it?
Let us. You know the head bob already, Chelsea. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a requirement.
The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Racine County, which is just on the Lake Michigan shore, south of Milwaukee County, north of Kenosha County, sandwiched right in there at the mouth of the Root River, which Racine is French for root. That's how that name came about. So in 2017, in January of 2017, it was rated the most affordable place to live in the world.
Fun fact.
By the International Housing Affordability Survey, which I've never heard of, but that's crazy.
The internet said that that was true, and I copied and pasted it.
There's never anything questionable on the internet.
So did we.
Ever. Yes.
So, and actually what's impressive, Racine actually is the headquarters of so many huge industries.
So many.
It is
like
wild.
Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including J.I. Case, famously the makers of heavy equipment, farming equipment, and such. S.C. Johnson & Son, with tons of cleaning products you have used in your home many a time. You got to take the pledge.
We've talked about S.C. Johnson a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty
Frank
major.
Lloyd Wright.
The Dremel Corporation, the Reliance Controls Corporation, Twin Disc, which is huge, and Modine, which makes heat exchangers and such. The Mitchell and Lewis Company, a wagon maker in the 19th century, began making motorcycles and automobiles as Mitchell Lewis Motor Company at the start of the 20th century, and that evolved into Modine. So, I mean, southeastern Wisconsin was such a huge capital of motorcycles and automobiles and creative inventions back then, and that led to all these different companies, so it's pretty cool. And a lot of famous Wisconsin inventions have been made in Racine. In fact, we talked about those back in episode 66, and of course, the garbage disposal was invented in Racine. That's why we have InSinkErator there, and malted milk balls, which were developed by William Horlick, who now has a high school named after him in Racine.
There you go.
Wow.
Yes. If you've ever enjoyed malted milk.
It sounds like we should almost do an episode on the hidden gems of Racine. Wait a minute. We will.
I think one's coming, right?
In 1 month.
Yes. Why are we whispering?
We're recording a podcast. Speak up into your microphones.
All right.
Anyway.
Best way to speak loud is to light a fire. Right, Dave?
Totally.
It's my attempt at a transition today.
Can you tell it's been a long day for us in the cabin? Oh my gosh. Well, tell
cabin
you what.
Cabin fever.
Cabin fever. We are so excited to welcome Chelsea Knuth, who is known as the Wisconsinista on Instagram. She's like a Wisconsin travel creator, blogger, influencer, all the fun travel things to honestly show more great, like, just not even hidden gems, but just, like, regular gems all throughout Wisconsin. We were so excited, particularly, to talk to her about all things fall in Wisconsin and help create a bucket list that people have to do this season. So, Chelsea, welcome to the cabin. Thank you for being here.
Welcome.
Thanks. It's very cozy in here. I'm excited.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's nice and warm.
It's Chelsea.
That is true, yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, I mean, how long have you been the Wisconsinista and, like, providing this content?
Yeah, so I started the account in June of 2018, which is right after I graduated college, and it's just kind of followed me ever since. It's one of those things that's been on my mind for a long time, and I loved Wisconsin, and I had grown up seeing all these different parts of it, and it was like, how do I communicate this? Because a lot of people around me were like, Wisconsin is just cornfields or it's boring, and I was like, this is not my experience. Like, there's so much more than this. And so Instagram ended up being the perfect platform to share all of not only my adventures, but to connect with other people who have explored different parts of the state that I don't get to as often, and just create this whole community, similar to the way you guys do, just promoting all that we have to do right here in the state.
We love it. Clearly, we're big fans of Wisconsin fun content. So
that's evident at this point.
I feel like this episode's been a long time coming because for a long time we've heard like, oh, are you familiar with Wisconsinista on Instagram? Like, you guys should hook up with her and do something.
We have had people ping us about this. So it definitely has been a long time coming. And honestly, creating a fall bucket list seemed like the perfect thing to have you in the cabin for. So let's start there. What is your, like, first of all, what is still on your fall bucket list that you haven't done yet?
Oh, there's a lot. I think most of all, like, there's a ton of hikes that I just haven't gotten to. I hike a lot. That's one of the main foci focuses of the blog. And, you know, being based in southeastern Wisconsin, it's hard to get up to the northwestern corner of the state, especially, and even some Northwoods hikes. So I'd love to see, like, Amnicon in the fall or some of those other state parks up there, some of the waterfalls, go up to Bayfield in the fall. I've done it in the summer. And then just other big events like Oktoberfest in La Crosse is the biggest one. You know, it's iconic to Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm a German dancer, so I love Oktoberfest events, but haven't been to the biggest one. So there's so much on the bucket list.
Oh, that is a must do, and you have the opportunity this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
September 30th through October 3rd, I believe.
October 3rd is Oktoberfest in La Crosse, and if you need your ultimate guide to Oktoberfest in La Crosse, head back to episode 84, because we did an entire chit-chat with the president of Oktoberfest.
Yes, so. Fellow radio guy. We're doing a good job cross-promoting our episodes.
We're
today,
doing so such a great job. Oh, my gosh.
Don't trust that the wheels will fall off.
Oh, no. Okay. We can't break the fourth wall. Okay. Also, Bayfield and the Apostle Islands in fall sounds stunning. So I'm with you on that. That's definitely on my bucket list to do. What about you two? What's something you have not done in the fall yet and you need to do?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think about this time last year, we were talking about things that we wanted to do in the coming fall. And I said that I wanted to bake a homemade apple pie. And I did it and had a great time and still think that's the best thing I've ever cooked. So this year, I want to make a homemade pumpkin pie. That's one of my bucket list items. I want to go, like, pick a pumpkin and do whatever you have to do to make it into a pie.
We will hold you accountable, Dave. We will require a photo for social media to make sure that you did it.
Have you guys ever seen, like, pumpkin pies that have, like, slices of pumpkin on top? Is that a thing that normally happens?
No.
Or is
I don't
it,
think so.
My wife and I were watching a TV show the other day, and it was in Australia, and I don't know if they just make their pies differently or if it was just garnish on top, but it looked beautiful and I want to explore it.
I'm sure it was garnish for presentation.
Yeah. Are you supposed to eat the outside of a pumpkin?
No.
I feel like that's a bad idea.
Yeah. So maybe it is just garnish, but we want a picture because it sounds pretty.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, yeah, they did a study and the favorite smell, at least among men, their favorite scent was the smell of a fresh baked pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
How
I agree
specific.
With that.
Specific.
I actually used a little bit of pumpkin pie spice in the apple pie I made last year. That was my little secret touch. It's very good.
Are you going to use apple spice in the pumpkin pie?
Who knows?
Well, and that's
right, the limit.
I haven't done much of that in the fall either to kind of piggyback on Dave's thing. I've been to orchards and visited, but I haven't really done the apple picking kind of stuff and the baking. I cook a lot. I don't bake much, but I should try something along those lines myself. But yeah, we went to like the Apple Barn, for example, which is near the El Morro Winery and Vineyard, which is just outside Trempolo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there in the fall. Well, actually, it was really late summer. The leaves were just starting to change. But I will bet, first of all, amidst the bluffs, the fall colors there are amazing. But to pick the apples fresh off the tree and do something with them, whether you make cider or pie or whatever, that would be, I've never gone through that whole process. I should do that this fall.
And we talk about that winery back in episode 79, Unforgettable Wisconsin, the Driftless Area.
Holy moly.
Man, you got all this down.
It's locked in there somewhere.
I do think there is something to be said about like going and picking the apples specifically, because I never really realized how many different types of apples there are.
It's insane.
The little minute flavor details that you will then pick up in your pie versus like just buying an apple pie. You're like, tastes like apples.
Chelsea, do you have any, I might be putting you on the spot here, but do you know of any like real top-notch like apple orchards or like farms that people can go do apple picking?
So I'm kind of like Eric. I haven't done a ton of it myself. However, growing up in Mequon, a really good local place is Barthel Fruit Farm. And it's on the west side of Mequon. And it's great. Their Honeycrisp apples are our family's favorite, but they have a whole bunch of different kinds. I know you can go in and pick stuff yourself. And then you can also just buy it if that's kind of your thing.
Deal. No one has asked me what my fall bucket list item is yet, so I'm just going to tell you. It is going to refer back to episode 88, a Wisconsin deep dive into Lake Geneva.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. Stephanie Klett told us about the hot air balloon rides you can do over the Lake Geneva fall colors. I am still obsessed with it. That episode only aired a week ago, so if you haven't listened to it, go back. I need to do it. So if you also are a hot air balloon enthusiast, I've never been in one, but I need to do it. So if someone wants to be my buddy, DM me, because I need someone to go.
I got scared when Eric was talking about being too tall to fall over the side. Like, if he was too tall for it, I think I probably shouldn't.
5'10", that's a...
Might be fair.
Yeah. It's a liability.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well...
By the way, I do need to make a correction.
Okay.
Across from El Morro Winery, Eckers Apple Farm is the name of the place in Trempolo. With all that beautiful stuff. The Apple Barn is another place that's a little bit west of Elkhorn in Walworth County that is also a wonderful place to pick apples. And I did pick a few apples there last October.
Okay.
But I never did anything with them. My girlfriend Ann baked them into an apple bake that we brought to some friends in Florida. And by the way, you've never felt more Midwestern than when you're carrying a fresh baked pie onto the plane as a carry-on, because you can't check it. And the middle seats were open because it was during COVID, so we buckled it in all tight.
Oh, my God. Okay. I need pictures of all of this.
We connected in Charlotte. I'm carrying it through the airport going, oh, my God.
I can't. All right. Well, so, okay. Obviously, apple picking, apple farms aside. Chelsea, let's go back and talk about your and Eric's mutual love, which is road trips and scenic drives.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of great options for the fall. And growing up, we went to the Three Lakes area a lot up north. Mm. And so one of my fall recommendations for anybody looking for a road trip or even just, you know, a scenic drive that you're going to take for a little while is the Nicolet Wolf River Scenic Byway, and particularly the Military Road area.
That is on my list because for my road trip website, State Trunk Tour, I've been following the numbered roads. And they've been telling me about that scenic byway, and I've wanted to check that out and do it in detail. And I might do that here in the next several weeks, because I do have some time open now, and I can actually get there and enjoy the fall colors, too. And the old military road, so you're going up near kind of where it connected, Fort Howard and Fort Wilkins, up at Copper Harbor, Michigan. That's what the old military road did. Mm. It goes through, like, a lot of the North Woods up there. And so I'm looking forward to seeing both of those things, because it's not only natural beauty, there's some cool history there, too.
There is. You're going to outgeek me on that one. But yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, my goodness. What's another like great scenic drive for people to do for fall colors?
Yeah. So if you're in southeastern Wisconsin, I really love the Kettle Moraine Scenic Drive. Mm. It's obviously pretty extensive. You know, there's a northern and southern unit, and the road kind of drives through all of that. So no matter where you are in southeastern Wisconsin, I think it's a great place to start. You know, you can go either direction, and the Kettle Moraine never gets old. It's so cool.
Mm. No, it's kind of like a little mini driftless area in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, I had someone refer to it recently as the Kettles, because I was trying to think of a name for the region of southeastern Wisconsin, and somebody said, well, we call it the Kettles. And so now I'm all about it.
I've heard that just a little bit, but yeah, that's absolutely good.
Kettles.
And a great place to start would actually be right off Highway 45 in Keewaskum, and kind of follow that part of the road east and northeast, because you hit Dundee.
Yeah.
The Dundee Mill is like one of the most Instagrammable spots in the state, I think. And there's a couple of good wineries and breweries in there, too. And then, you know, you can just follow that up towards Elkhart Lake and everything. And that's a gorgeous drive.
Okay, so we've done some great drives, but you also have something else on here that I found really intriguing, which was you can do some scenic drives, but you can also do some scenic boats.
Oh, yeah. So this is going to dive back to Lake Geneva and all of that good stuff. But one of my favorite things to do in the fall is extend things that are typically for summer. So a great one is boat tours.
Uh-huh.
And the Lake Geneva Cruise Line goes through the end of October. So that's awesome.
See, that's a lot of people forget this. And I know you're already breaking out the flannel here, but September and really much of October, the weather's gorgeous here. And it's not, it cools
gorgeous.
Off at night, but it's not like it's cold all day most of the time. We'll have a lot of days in the 70s. Mm-hmm. 60s are comfortable enough, right? And even some days in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So you can do those summer-like things well into October. I mean, we've gone boating on lakes and gone in the water into October, and it's been comfortable. So that's a great point. And another reason I like that you brought that up is we didn't bring up with Stephanie last week when we talked about Lake Geneva. We didn't even bring up the boat tours and the fact that they do mail delivery by boat on mansions.
Yeah, wow. It's like the last, one of the last ones in the country that still does that.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's great video. I mean, it comes right by a dock. Somebody jumps off, runs like hell to the mailbox, puts the mail in, and runs back and jumps on the boat as the because the boat never stops.
Wow.
It just keeps going.
High stakes,
so
high reward.
It's crazy.
And you can join that as a public tour
yes.
and spectate. Yeah.
Nice.
It's very fun. And that is a thing. You know, the waters don't freeze in October. You know, that happens in like December. October is a beautiful month to get out on the water and do those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even kayaking if you have the right gear. I mean, we water ski through the end of October, so you don't have to be that crazy. But I think the boat tour is a perfect way to see the colors, and yeah, it's beautiful. We were blown away.
And kayaking and canoeing, too. I mean, we've done it into at least early October up north, so the water stays warm for a little while.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah, you can extending summer activities. I like that a lot.
You can get a whole extra month if you want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you also mentioned this earlier that you are a big hiker. And obviously hiking is one of our favorite. We talk about hiking so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no. We talk about hiking pretty all year long for different terrains. But where's your favorite fall hiking spot?
Can I give you three?
No.
Hit me with it.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so I'm going to do one in the Northwoods, one in the Driftless, and then one in southeastern Wisconsin. Those are kind of my three.
Love it.
Okay, great.
Jinx.
One in the 715, one in the 608, one in the
262. You got it.
Boy, I was flowing so well there for a minute. Thank you, Jenny. All right.
I'll start up. So if you're in the Northwoods, I really love the Star Lake Nature Trail, and it's in Vilas County, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. St. Star Lake area.
Correct. Yeah. And that was my first time. I've gone to Eagle River a whole bunch, and I love all of it, but it was my first time drifting over to that area. And the trail's awesome. There's kind of two loops you can take. The shorter one stays really in the forest the whole time, and then the longer loop goes around the lake. And if you're there at peak color, not only are you hiking through awesome foliage, but then you're looking across the lake and you're seeing the foliage too. Maybe there's a theme here, like the boat tours, the lake hikes. You know, it's all about seeing the colors from the water.
Yeah.
And they're gorgeous from the water because sometimes the water reflects those colors.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so gorgeous.
And yeah, it makes for just amazing. It's like you want to take a picture, but you also just want to stare at it and take it in.
Yeah.
And enjoy it because you got to savor it while you can, right?
Well, and they have benches there, and I sat for probably 20 minutes just like in awe.
Well, it's very peaceful up around Star Lake too, so you get to just enjoy
the wind through the leaves and everything. Mm-hmm. Very meditative.
I love it. Do you know what's not super, it's not meditative, but it's fun?
What's
Has anyone
that?
Gone to the Pumpkin Patch Festival or the Fall Festival in Door County?
Mm-mm. No.
I don't think so.
Whoa! Okay. There is a bucket list item for you. So they are always historically the two middle October weekends in Door County. So the Pumpkin Patch Festival happens, and this year it's going to be October 9th and 10th, and that's in Egg Harbor, like all of downtown Egg Harbor. They like pop up a carnival at some point. Like the entire town is shut down for this entire festival. It's the whole weekend. It's great. My pro tip is to go to Parador and get a white apple cinnamon sangria and then walk like around.
Ooh.
Tasty. And then the next week is always, so that's always over, yeah, it's always like the middle two weekends. And then the fall festival is, this year it's going to be October 15th through the 17th, and that's in Sister Bay. So like three towns, depending on how you want to count that. North, like,
Fish Creek, Ephraim, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's like many, like Judville, I don't know, whatever. There's like 30 minutes like north of that in Sister Bay. And that one has like a full parade, and it's just, both of them are such great festivals. And, you know, from an economic perspective, they are like the last things really that like kind of, they wrap up the entire season in Door County. Most all businesses and restaurants and shops will kind of close after that. So if you've ever wanted to do Door County in the fall, those are your two, again, not meditative, but if you want to go for a festival, those are like the last two hurrahs really for the peninsula.
Hmm. Nice.
Quite fun.
I'll give you another one that isn't very peaceful and meditative, but I know I've mentioned before that I really want to try mountain biking, like through the woods and checking out the trails on a mountain bike. And I feel like fall is probably the best time for that, just because some of that foliage is dying away. And we were talking about how you're kind of zipping around corners and stuff like that. You might see things coming a little further out when it's fall. And you're not working up as much of a sweat, so I think
yes,
that's
but
something.
You don't see as many divots and holes in the ground because the leaves cover them up, so you got to be aware of that.
That's a good
point. Just stay on the trail if you do that. Although we did that in the fall in the Blue Hills, just east of Rice Lake.
Yeah.
Up in Barron County.
Barron County.
And it is absolutely beautiful there. That feels like the mountains. Yeah. And, you know, the North Woods, of course, any place there, it's great for hiking and mountain biking. I believe you had two more hiking trails, right?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because we covered the Northwoods pretty well with that one.
We're being bad podcasters today.
Those were good, though. So if we jump over to the Driftless area, this one is not, I wouldn't call it like a, it's not, you're not hiking for distance, but it's one of my favorite, like, hidden spots. And
it's a hidden what?
Say it.
It's a hidden gem. And it's actually at the rest area in Black River Falls. So if you're driving westbound, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
here?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, if you're driving westbound and you get off at the Black River Falls rest area, which is number 54, behind it is this trail entrance. And it looks like there's trees, but it's very unassuming. And it says it's only a third of a mile. I always feel like it's longer than that. It's paved, but it goes uphill. And then you end up at this huge scenic overlook. And it's, you're on top of the hill, but it almost feels like, you know, it's all flat when you're looking out. So you must be at the edge of some landmark there. And it's just the most amazing view. It's free. It's easy to get to. And in the fall, it's so pretty.
They actually have the sign saying scenic overlook, like ahead of the rest area exit to point that out. So if you're near Black River Falls, I think it's before you reach it when you're going westbound.
It is, yeah.
The sign will also say scenic overlook, and that is your cue to go check that out.
Easy to miss, but worth it if you pull off, yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful. So that's your Driftless one.
That's my Driftless one.
Okay.
Yeah. Southeastern Wisconsin, I think we're all going to know this one, but Seven Bridges Trail at Grant Park. That one's great. And I think especially if you miss peak color, because I've come at peak color and I've come after peak color, that's a cool place if you're like, shoot, you know, it's November, I missed all the like main foliage. The whole, like when all the leaves fall there, it just turns like bright orange. So it's actually one of those places that's very cool through like the true end of fall.
But really until the snow starts piling up.
Yeah.
It is absolutely gorgeous. That's in Grant Park in South Milwaukee, which is actually, my grandparents lived there. My mom grew up a block from Grant Park. That was their park growing up as kids. They never knew how good they had it until they grew up and moved elsewhere. But yeah, it's absolutely, Grant Park itself is just beautiful, but that's Seven Bridges area. And it's all seven bridges spanning a creek right before it empties into Lake Michigan by the beach. And just a spectacular place to go.
Fantastic. I love it. What else you got for us, Chelsea?
Oh, man. This is a full list. Well, we left off at hikes. So I think my next one, let's see. Oh, cabins. Since we're in the cabin, on the cabin.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think it's worthwhile. for any Wisconsinite to spend a fall night or a fall weekend in a cabin. And there are some great rentals around the state. There are some hotels that are like cabin style, which is really cool. So there are so many options that you can find out there. One that I stayed at is the Merrydale Resort in Rhinelander, just a smaller cottages type of place on Lake George, I believe. Super pretty in the fall. And then there's a hotel out in Siren that is a Northwoods Lodge, and it's
That's a Best Western hotel, yeah.
It's epic. I knew about it before I got there, obviously, and then I walked in the door and I was like, whoa.
Wow. So,
yeah, the lobby's amazing.
Yeah, it's let's see that welcome sign behind you. It's kind of like if the entire roof lattice work was made of that.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's cool.
It's just, it's wood everywhere you look, and yeah, super hunting lodge.
Best
feel.
Western Northwoods Lodge.
Yeah.
Are you looking at this right now in Siren?
Yeah.
It's okay. Right along highways 35 and 70. You can't miss it.
Wait, I need to look this up now too. Oh, that is cool.
Right?
Oh, I like it. You know, I remember, I think we also talked about, I won't say the whole thing, but back in episode 79, we talked about the Annaway place or the Annaway cottage in the Driftless, and it's like made of pure windows.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for those colors.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And speaking of lookout towers.
Oh, yeah. So there are a bunch of different options when it comes to lookout towers, as you guys I'm sure know. But the one I discovered this year is, and you guys probably, again, all know, but the Mountain Fire Lookout Tower. I didn't really know we had a fire tower until I went up north.
We have a lot of fire towers. I think that's the only public one, right?
Yeah, I think it's the only one you could still climb in.
And I have not, in fact, I think you posted on about that on Instagram, right?
Yeah, and I lost my first pair of these glasses here.
Oh, no.
You can see fires, but you lose your glasses on those towers. That is one, and I've been past there a number of times. I need to get up there and check out that tower. It's in the Northwoods near Mountain, Wisconsin, which is, what county? I guess it's Ocando still, right? It's right along Highway 32, a little bit north of 64. So you're in the woods. And it looks, I mean, it's not like a big wooden, like the ones we're going to be talking about, I'm sure, you know, the big wood climbing towers.
Yeah.
This is more of a metal, kind of a narrow thing, right?
Yeah. And if you're afraid of heights, like this one will really challenge you. But it's so cool when you get to the top. I mean, the views are great. So I would recommend that one. It's a lot, I feel like it's a lot less crowded than some of the other ones I'm going to mention, even though they're all very cool as well. So it's off the beaten path, but like if you're driving up north, Three Lakes, Eagle River, that's when I made the stop. It's very easy to get to.
Very nice.
Nice.
And there's a bunch of others, including some of the high points in the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tim's Hill is great. Rib Mountain, of course. Those are kind of the two that I know. You guys can add if you have any there.
Well, you have Holy Hill here, which in itself is not a lookout tower.
No,
but it's near it. There's Powder Hill in Pike Lake, the Pike Lake unit of the Kettle Moraine State Forest near Hartford.
Oh, that's true. I've been up there, yeah.
It's hard to spit that out, but Pike Lake, beautiful area right off Highway 60 east of Hartford, and you're only about 5 miles north of Holy Hill at that point. So when you climb on the Powder Hill Lookout Tower and stand on top, you got a great shot of Holy Hill just to the south.
Cool.
And I mean, even the slight zoom my phone has, I was able to get a pretty nice shot of Holy Hill from there.
So then if you climb the Holy Hill Bell Tower, do you have a nice shot of the other one? Probably not.
You probably can't see the tower from there.
Probably not.
But you will have a nice view of the park from there. Because that's the highest point in southeastern Wisconsin.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And then another tower, I'll piggyback on one, the Lapham Peak Tower in Waukesha County, off the Delafield exit from 94. That's the highest point in Waukesha County. And you look to the south from 94. If you're driving near the Highway C exit, when you see the tallest hill, that's Lapham Peak, you'll see a little bit of that wooden tower just peeking out from the very top of the treetops. And that's where you can go to check that out. And on a clear day, you can see a couple of the buildings in downtown Milwaukee from there. And that's about 23, 24 miles as the crow flies.
That's crazy.
And that's the one that you said, the first weather forecast.
Yeah, I wasn't going to repeat that because I've said it a couple times, but I do love that tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
Increase Lapham did that. That's back when parents named their kids Increase.
Yeah.
That was a name back then.
Alrighty then.
So, yeah. But I know you got a couple more too.
Well, those were my, that was my fire tower list. Now, I guess as long as we're talking about the Kettle Moraine, my question to you is Parnell Tower. That's still, that's
Northern.
I've not
been on that one.
I was there a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's changed, but that's a good one if you're in the, yeah, the Northern unit, which I feel like Lapin Peak gets a little more hype, but the Northern unit's pretty cool too.
I'll have to check that one out. And the Timms Hill one is really cool because that is the highest point in the state. And when you, it's funny, Timms Hill is not called Timms Mountain because legally mountains are 2,000 feet or higher above sea level. Although Rib Mountain is called a mountain and it's a little bit shorter. So I don't get how those rules work. But when you're at the top of, when you're on Timms Hill, you can tell you're at the highest point in the state.
Yeah.
Because literally everything around you is clearly lower. And that isn't always obvious when you're in other places. I went to North Carolina. Mount Mitchell's the highest point east of the Rockies in the country. And you look around at the other mountains and several of them look higher.
Yeah.
Than where you're standing. When you're on Timms Hill, you know everything is below you.
Yeah.
And you can also see, and I've been there in October, peak of the fall foliage.
Yep.
I mean, I just stood there and took pictures for like an hour of the same things because you can't, you don't want to leave.
No,
you
want to
go back down the stairs and not see that view. And you could probably see the horizon was, gosh, 40, 50 miles away, I'd bet, because everything is just hundreds of feet lower as you go out.
Because you have to hike up a pretty steep incline before you even get to the tower.
It's not too bad, though. I mean, you can drive pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you're walking up that one hill, you're like, well, this better be the highest point of the state.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, can I just say that my favorite part of this is that you know it's a real bucket list for Wisconsin fall things because I feel like you are schooling Eric on so many things in this conversation. And that's how you know it's a real bucket list episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm adding things to my bucket.
Exactly.
See, that's the goal. Yeah.
I love it. And honestly, so I really want to end on one last note, which is something I've also always wanted to do that's on my bucket list, which is go to a cranberry festival and walk in a cranberry marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Marsh. Yes. Have you done this?
So I have gone to the Warren's Cranberry Festival. I did not take a marsh tour there, although I know that you can. But I took a marsh tour last fall at Lake Nokomis Cranberries in Eagle River. And that was a very awesome, unique experience, especially if you go, during the harvest, which is right around now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. You get to see the whole sort of production of the thing. And it's a really big facility. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Cranberries, when they're ready, they'll bounce. You can.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's how farmers know when they're ready.
Wow.
Because Mariah and I practiced at, we filmed at Warren's Cranberry Festival, three, 4 years ago now. And we were throwing cranberries into each other's mouths as part of the opener, the close, I forgot which. And when you missed it, they'd bounce right off the street.
Whoa.
Like high. They were like super balls.
Huh. Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was pretty cool. But the Warren's Cranberry Festival, just happened this weekend, but there is one in Eagle River in October that will be, that'll be another opportunity to check out a cranberry festival if you so choose, Susan.
There you go.
It would be so fun. I do really want to check at some point the Warren's Festival, so I clearly have missed my shot, so I'll have to do it next year.
Like 100,000 people are there over 3 days, and the vendors, the shopping options there are unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Which is crazy. I think a lot of people.
And the food options.
Too. I think, and I don't know if it's just because I did grow up in Door County where everything's about cherries, but I think sometimes the fact that cranberry is the state fruit gets overlooked a lot. Yeah. I might be biased in that, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And there might be a few bogs in Door County, but most of the cranberry bogs are kind of up around Jackson County, Monroe County, that area. And so you can see them a lot of times if you're driving near Toma, which, of course, is near Warren's, and Black River Falls and through that area. So, and the beautiful part about those bogs is we have lush greenery. We have the changing of the leaves, which are, a lot of yellow and orange. Those cranberry bogs are bright red.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're perfectly flat, of course. So they just, it's a sea of red when you're driving through. And actually, if you drive Highway 54 from Black River Falls over towards Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, that area, you go past a lot of those bogs, too.
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a tour this time of year.
I just think it's so cool. And honestly, even cooler than that, for a few more fun facts about cranberries specifically, we do have a really fun interview with Isaac from Wisconsin Cranberry Growers to actually teach us a little bit more about our state fruit. So, Audio Dave, can you fire up the audio?
Yeah. Chelsea, do you mind sticking around for a couple more segments here?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
They're all going to be fall things, so.
Okay, and speaking of more fall things to do, we are sitting down with Isaac from the Wisconsin Cranberries, who's going to talk to us about the fact that cranberries need to get a much bigger, better rap in Wisconsin. Right, Isaac?
Absolutely. It's something that Wisconsinites should be proud of. We produce more cranberries in Wisconsin than anywhere else in the world, and that's not even close. We produce more than half the world's supply of cranberries right here in the state. The next biggest growing region is Quebec, Canada, followed by Massachusetts, and then there's some in New Jersey and out on the northwest coast in British Columbia, Washington, and Oregon. But those are, they kind of pale in comparison to Wisconsin.
So essentially, our Wisconsin pride needs to go like Packers and cheese and brats and then cranberries. Like, we need to put it on this list. Oh my
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we produce a lot. It's and they're native to here in Wisconsin. We have some very unique growing conditions. They're found all across kind of latitudes like Wisconsin, Minnesota, they're grown wild, Michigan, parts of Canada. A long, long time ago in the last ice age, there was this deposit of big glacier. And as it receded, it created this glacial lake, Wisconsin, which is just about the center of the state. And that's where I'd say 60 to 70% of the cranberry marshes are in the state. It created some really sandy, well-drained acidic soils. It also created some good growing regions up in the northern part. Cranberries are unique. They thrive in higher acidity environments where a lot of other crops don't.
Mm, that's super interesting. And cranberries is a huge like economic impact for the state, right?
Yeah, $1 billion of economic impact throughout the state. And that doesn't just include, you know, folks on the farm and the marshes. And that's another thing I want to point out. In Wisconsin, we say marshes. A lot of people out east say bogs, but in Wisconsin, we call them cranberry marshes. That's just a fun little cultural thing. Most people on a day-to-day wouldn't know the difference between that. But if you talk to a grower in Wisconsin, they will correct you very quickly. but yeah, it's a big deal. So we got employees on the marshes, growers, folks hauling the trucks around, people at processing facilities, not just in cranberry country, but we have, there's different plants all across the state that, you know, process and produce all the great juices, dried cranberries, and other cranberry products.
That's amazing. And so, you know, this episode, we've been talking about all things fall in Wisconsin. We did talk a little bit about the Warren's Cranberry Festival coming up here at the end of the month, but it's not the only cranberry festival we have, correct?
No. For fall, there's obviously the Warren's Cranberry Festival, which is very popular. It happens at the end of September. But then the following week, there's also the Stone Lake Cranberry Festival up north. And then there's a couple other the same weekend in Eagle River and Manitouche Waters as well. So no matter where you go in central or northern Wisconsin, you'll have the opportunity to go to a cranberry fest. A lot of them have crafts, different little events, cranberry education and literature and things like that. So
that's
a lot of
awesome.
Cool opportunities.
Cool. I guess I honestly just have like one last question for you, which is pretty silly, but what is your favorite way to enjoy a cranberry? Via juice or salads? Or?
Yeah, I like, well, obviously, you know, cranberry vodkas are pretty popular. But I don't mind just popping raw regular cranberries in my mouth. They're pretty tart, but I think they're a little fruit that packs a punch, and I like that. There's like a little sour candy.
You heard it here, folks. Cranberries are actually just tart candies. Trick your kids into eating more fruit with that little tidbit. So, Isaac, thank you so much for joining us on The Cabin and for all that you do for Wisconsin's state fruit.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Interesting facts.
Isn't that fun?
Well, they're very good for you, and I love that fact.
I love it. Do you know what's also a really beautiful place for the fall that does have great fall colors that needs to be on a bucket list?
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. Oh, I said that so obnoxiously. Eric, teach us about fall colors in Oshkosh.
Well, children, let's all have a seat. Basically, Oshkosh has a lot of cool, I mean, obviously there's beautiful trees in Lake Winnebago and Butamore and everything going through there. So the views are wonderful. And nearby, there's some really cool stuff. Basically, if you're just west of Oshkosh off Highway 21, a little bit west of 41, Rasmussen's Apple Orchard is a really good place to stop. They're open every day from 1 to 4, a little bit more on weekends. And basically, apples right now, I guess $1.20 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 to 10 pounds, that's a great deal. $1 per pound for up to 40 pounds. And 90 cents per pound for more than 40 pounds. Who is picking more than 40 pounds of apples?
That's a lot of apple pies.
That's a heck of a lot of apple pies. Wow. Somebody really wants the doctor to keep away.
I was going to say, someone is baking for the neighborhood at that point. Yeah.
Also, if you go downtown in Oshkosh, there's some great fall treats, which are fun to do with friends and family and others. Oaks candy and the caramel or caramel. How do you do it?
I do caramel crisp.
Caramel?
Caramel.
I would say caramel as well.
Okay, the Caramel Crisp Cafe in downtown Oshkosh, along with Oaks Candy. Great locations for caramel apples.
So good for... And I do have to say, Tamara's the Cupcake Guru, which is not downtown. It's a little bit more off of, I think, if my memory served me correctly, it's a little bit more off 9th Avenue, but
okay.
She makes a tasty treat. I don't even care what the treat has to be. She's just very good at it. So if you need especially like a pumpkin cupcake or something, or the pumpkin cheese bread...
Cream cheese bread, I've heard.
You gotta go to the Cupcake Guru.
Wow.
So that has to be my plug there.
It's got cupcakes and caramel apples.
Mm-hmm.
My dentist told me to keep eating more caramel apples. Something about he needs to pay off his Porsche or something like that. Fresh off the press, caramel apples, by the way, at Oaks are only $2.95 right now.
Nice.
They're giving us like actual price specifics.
Us real things.
That's pretty
yeah.
cool. Now, I mentioned Butamore before, Lake Butamore, which is... Butamore. More means death. Oh, shoot. What does butte mean in French?
But.
Oh, no.
No, wait, I knew this.
It does not mean dead butt.
Wait, I knew this. I'm going to look it up and I'm going to be so mad.
Portemort is death's door in Door County.
Correct.
Normally this stuff's right on the top of my head. But anyway.
Wait.
No. Butamore, which we all know, 41 has that long bridge over it.
Oh, Butamore means Hill of the Dead.
Hill of the Dead.
There we go.
That makes sense. Okay, and because there's a couple hills around Lake Butamore. Terrell's Island, or Terrell's Island. I think it might be Terrell's, though. It's just west of Oshkosh along the south shore. They have a 3-mile-long breakwall trail that's open to hikers and bikers with a lot of great fall color views. Mm-hmm. And
that was just in
Dave,
episode.
Mountain biking?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, in the endless shores of Winnebago.
Endless shores of Lake Winnebago. Yeah, we should have talked about that trail with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
We should have.
Back when, that's fine. Also, Asylum Point Park, which is basically on the endless shores of Lake Winnebago.
That's a pretty one.
South Asylum Bay. That's right. You went to college there.
I did.
So you know it well. Is that where people go to hang out? Talk?
I doubt it.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had any.
But it's pretty.
Memories there. Asylum Point Park, enjoy the fall colors there on the beautiful shores of Lake Winnebago. And if you like to dig things up, the Lastly Point Archaeological Site on the shores of Butamore. That was once a thriving Native American village. So if you have an interest in history and archaeology, that is definitely a good place to go. All in and around Oshkosh in one convenient town.
Isn't that fun? Honestly, there's a lot of fun like fall bucket list things happening in the Fox Cities, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Fox Cities area, Oshkosh especially, there's 66,000 residents just in Oshkosh. It's a good-sized town. There's a lot going on there.
The facts that come out of you, I don't even understand where they live. Oh, my gosh.
They'll have the holiday lights in Menominee Park pretty soon. That'll be stunning, too. So.
Pretty soon. Oh, my gosh. All right, Chelsea, do you have any... We've talked about so many things all across the state. Do you have any last-minute like bucket list things that we have to put on for this fall?
So we talked about Rib Mountain before, and I think a quick little addition to that is if you're going to go up there, you're going to go up at the tower or hike, you should take the chairlift at Granite Peak and go up there. Yeah, that's a fun bucket list way to take in the views of the hill or the mountain.
That's right. They operate that when it's not ski season, right?
Correct.
Oh, that's cool.
That's actually the only time I've ever been on it.
that's my favorite place to hike in the fall. We've been up on Rib Mountain and hiked around there. It's just beautiful. I love the little quarry that you can get back to.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I've only hiked there in the winter. And that was beautiful. It was fresh snowfall. It was gorgeous. But in the fall, I can imagine it's just, again, the views from the mountain. Mm-hmm. Of Wausau. You can see the skyline of Wausau because there is one tall building there, 11 stories. And then just all the land around it. Beautiful. Yeah.
Chelsea, this has been such a great and honestly jam-packed like bucket list episode for the fall. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people follow you and see more of your fall adventures?
Yeah, super easy. It's at the Wisconsinista on Instagram and Facebook.
I love it. She posts a lot of really great content, so you'll definitely want to follow along.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chelsea.
She's so lovely.
Yeah, yeah. She's great.
I love that. That
was awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's bring this ship home. Today's review of the week comes from Apple Podcast user Xander Andy, is what I'm going to pronounce that as.
Xander and E.
Xander and E.
Xander and E.
Xander ampersand the letter E.
Yes.
That's exactly how they wanted it pronounced.
Yep. They say, a Midwest must. Friendly, upbeat, fun podcast worth listening to. The hosts make you feel right at home.
Uh-huh. Right at the cabin.
I mean, what else would you expect from a couple of Wisconsinites? Which I'm not sure which two of us they're talking about. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
The group has a great social media reach, which makes it easy to know when an episode is out.
Ha-ha.
Every episode.
There we go.
Way to go,
good
social
distribution
media.
Reach, Susan, there.
Every episode contains tidbits about Wisconsin that you can only get listening here. This is a Midwest must. Thank you so much, Xander Andy.
Honestly, I would put that on a t-shirt.
A Midwest must, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be in our next line of t-shirts coming out.
It should be. By the way, friends, please, 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 please keep putting reviews on Apple Podcasts. We need it. I need it. We all need it.
Are we still talking about reviews?
Yes.
Or validation.
Also, I need more content for this segment of the show. So please put more content in the show by leaving a review. I'm being honest.
Perfect.
Okay.
This is reaching begging territory. Yeah. All right. Well,
we come humbly on our knees. To ask you this.
Rounding out September here on The Cabin, be sure to join us next week for our first show of October. And as we wrap it up here, a quick message from the All of Us Research Program, because the All of Us Research Program has a simple mission. They want to speed up medical breakthroughs. To do this, they're asking people across America to share their unique health information to create the largest, most diverse medical research program ever. The mission is an important one because the more information researchers have, the faster they can create individualized prevention, precise treatment options, and better care for all of us. Together, let's make this mission achievable. Details at joinallofus.org/discoverWI.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by Eric Paulson, Dave Janis, and me, Susan Foch, with guest host Chelsea Knuth. Produced by me and Audio Dave, with video editing by Quinn Savanak, and social media by me and Courtney Haas. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us that review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
The Oneida Nation Reservation is located in parts of Brown and Outagamie counties. You may enter the reservation without even realizing it, but from the air, it's hard to miss. With turtle-shaped roundabouts and a turtle-shaped school in honor of one of the nation's clans. To truly understand the Oneida people, you need to know their history. Tribal elder Lee Gordy McClester has researched the Oneida Nation's background for decades.
They think that the formation of the what we call the Iroquois Confederacy, or the people of the Haudenosaunee, goes back about 1,100 years.
The Oneida Nation originated in upstate New York, but European settlers eventually pushed them out of the area, effectively splitting the nation into three factions, one in New York, one in Canada, and one in Wisconsin.
First, the French came in, and they would hunt fish and get to trade, and then when they got what they wanted, they went back to France. But then came the English and began to occupy along the Atlantic border. Pretty soon it was causing a tremendous conflict between the Indians and whites for just mere food.
Wisconsinites can learn more about Oneida history, traditions, artifacts, language, and customs when they visit the Oneida Nation Museum in De Pere.
The Oneida Nation Museum opened its doors in 1979, and we have grown now to over 8,000 artifacts within our permanent collection. Our mission here at the Oneida Nation Museum is to protect maintain and strengthen the history of our culture.
And now you know your Wisconsin.